You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Turn to somebody and say, "You look good today." Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the unique opportunity that we have today to be a community, love one another. Thank you, God, for the unique opportunity, God, that as we look at your word, that you're going to show us something that we don't know, that you're going to show us something fresh, something practical, something applicable for our lives, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you for who you are and what your presence means to us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, we've been talking about this prayer and this idea that we have as believers that in a moment of turmoil, in a season of divisiveness, we can pray a prayer, come unity, come unity, and that once again, we can feel what it is to be a community. And specifically today, I wanted to touch on the topic of love and how love is the engine of community. And we've been talking about this, but the specific aspect of love is so powerful because it is one of the greatest tools to help community happen. And community is empowered by love. Community thrives in an atmosphere, in the soil of love. Devoid of love, there can be no community. And oftentimes, when we're talking to some of the great volunteers and leaders in our meetings, when we're talking about hope, we talk about the concept of leading with love. And I think that as the body of Christ, as believers, we should always ask ourselves, am I taking steps? Am I making decisions based in love? Or is love motivating my actions? Because love should always be playing in the background of every scenario in community. The Bible talks about without love, we can't do anything. Right? 1 Corinthians 13, if you'll go there with me. I just want to read a little portion here. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. And it says, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." I believe as believers, we want to have a productive life. We want to have a robust community. And what I've found is we can have a lot of things going on. We can have a church with great music, great teaching. We can have a city with great officials and great ideas. We can have a nation with great policies and great programs. But without love, it amounts to nothing. Amen? We can have a lot of beautiful things going on. If you think about a top-of-the-line sports car, but without love, there's no fuel in the tank. We can be gifted, we can be talented, we can be anointed, we can have great skill sets, but without love, it'll always fall short. And there's this great thing about love. Turn to somebody and say, there's a great thing about love. One of many things, actually. But 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love never fails. Say it with me, love never fails. That means whatever problems that we get ourselves into as a country, as a community, locally, as a church, in our relationships that we're in, guess what? True love never fails. If we turn to the godly version of love, love always has an answer, a solution. There is a way of escape. There is a way of repair. There is a way of restoration. Because what? Love never fails. It says, but where there's prophecies, they will cease. The tongues, they will be stilled. Knowledge, it will pass away. How many know that from year to year, from decade to decade, popular thought changes? What people consider to be wisdom changes. But love never fails. So I want to give you 13 steps to a more loving community. All right, so I hope you brought something to write down with it. This is great. 13 steps to give us a more loving community. Because I was looking, what is the way we can pump up the volume on love in our community? How many believe we need more love? The world needs more love. In every people grouping, every community, love is so amazing. So how can we accelerate and have abundant the virtue of love in our community? 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 says, love is patient. You know this? Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. So if I can break that down into 13 easy steps to enhance our community and the love within our lives. Let's take a look at that. Number one, be patient. You know, I think a lot of times what we lack in our lives is patience with each other. We all have those moments of, I don't get it. I don't get it, right? I don't know if I'm just slow on the uptake on this, but I just feel like I don't get it. So we have to be patient with each other. When you don't get it, when I don't get it as a community, what do? We have patience with one another. When somebody messes up, patience. When somebody fails to do the right thing, patience. We were talking a little bit earlier in foundation class about when somebody doesn't respond to you the right way in relationship. You were extending the olive branch to love somebody and they rejected you instead. But can we be patient with people to go through the journey that they're on? So first, to instill more love, we're talking about step one, be patient. Patience helps us achieve so much in community. Number two, be kind. I've noticed as our world has gotten less personal, come on church, we've become less kind. If I'm talking through the computer screen, I can be less kind. When we're having less eye-to-eye contact, less real conversations, we can be less kind as a community. And then we start saying unkind statements, putting unkind bumper stickers. You've seen them. Unkind t-shirts. But the truth about being unkind is it's absolutely destructive to community. If we're praying the prayer, come unity, we have to have kindness as an attribute that we carry. Being unkind always pushes people away and never brings people together. Step two is be kind. Step three, celebrate each other. Say that with me. Celebrate each other. Whether it's a big thing, whether it's a small thing, the Bible talks about a lot about encouragement. Right? This passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 says celebrate each other, roughly. So as a community, I believe we have to learn to celebrate each other. How many remember when you were younger and you were playing sports? And whether you won or whether you lost at the end of the game, they made you line up. And you had to shake hands or give a high five and say, good game. I believe our society has lost that. To where we don't know how to celebrate somebody else. If it's not a personal victory for ourselves, we can't say, congratulations. We can't celebrate someone else. And I believe that's an indictment against our society that says that we have become a selfish culture. But if we learn to celebrate each other, great communities celebrate each other. Step four, how can we enhance love? Be humble. Be humble. Jesus talks about in one of his teachings that when you come into a scenario, a given scenario, guess what? Take the seat that's the humble seat. Don't try to take the seat of prestige. Rather, take a humble position and let someone promote you. Let someone notice what you're doing and say, you know what? Let me promote you to something higher. But our society oftentimes, our community oftentimes lacks humility. Love is confident, but it is not arrogant. Love knows who it is, but it doesn't force itself on others. Love takes the high road. Love will give up some of their position to afford someone else a seat at the table. You know, it's one thing to pat somebody on the back. It's another thing to pull up a chair and give them a seat at the table. Give them a voice. Be humble. Step five, honor. Love honors its community members. Love honors. And love gladly dispenses dignity and affirmation. This is what honor does. Love promotes a culture of honor inside and outside the community. That's the interesting thing about Christianity. Innate with the culture of Christianity is to not only honor its members inside, but honor people that are outside. Honor those, love those that are different viewpoints, outsiders to the faith. People that see things completely contrary to the way that you see them, we honor and show dignity to others. So how do we make our community more robust? We honor. Isn't that awesome? You know, that's something really unique about our faith, because a lot of faiths, if you're on the outside, you're on the outside. But Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus said, if you're on the outside, I still care about you. If you're lost, if you don't see things all the way correctly, you're still important to me. Honor. Step six, be selfless. Love looks to help other people first. Love looks to elevate others around. Love enriches others. I've found there's two major ways to get somewhere in life. Two major ways to get ahead. Number one is helping yourself. Number two is helping others. One is much more gratifying and long-lasting than the other. You know, because by virtue of enriching the people's lives around you, you have indirectly enhanced your own life. And this is the very spirit of what it is to be a believer, is to enrich other people. Jesus said this, so profound. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. So as believers, if we can get this mentality locked into our psyche, and that is, I didn't come here to enrich myself. I came to enrich others. So step six, be selfless. Step seven, don't be angry. And we could go into this. We could say what we said in foundation class. Where's Minister Kendi? We said, it's all right. You can be angry, but sin not. But this is talking about just being angry for the long, being just downright angry. Don't be angry. Love goes the extra mile. Love turns the other cheek. Love is healthy enough to listen and not be offended. Listen, love is healthy enough to listen and not be offended. Love is not losing your inner peace when others are angry. Love oftentimes is giving up your right to be angry. The closer you get to God, you know, you give up your right in certain areas. You're laying down your right to be angry. You're laying down your right to say that thing back. And so love knows how to hold its tongue. Turn to somebody and say, love knows how to hold its tongue. Step 7, don't be angry. Step 8, forgive. This is so beautiful and very unique to the Christian faith. Love keeps no records of how many times it has been mistreated. Show me a person that can love somebody that has hurt them multiple times, and I will show you a godly, unconditional love. It is easy to love the people that are lovable. It's easy to love the person that loves you back. It is difficult to love the person that has hurt you. And it is even more difficult to love the person that has hurt you multiple times. But this is the very essence of forgiveness. How many times, Peter said to Jesus, should I forgive somebody? 7 times? Is 7 times enough? Is 7 times sufficient? If they hurt me 7 times, if they mistreat me 7 times, if I forgive them 7 times, on the 8th time, can I really just give it to them? Can I really give them a piece of my mind on the 8th time? And Jesus said, forgive them 7 times 70. Which is really just a complete number of forgiveness. A perfect forgiveness. A forgiveness that knows no end. Beautiful. Step 8 is forgiveness. Step 9, celebrate truth. You know, love is not the absence of truth. Love is actually standing by truth. Love is celebrating truth. Love is saying the truth in love. It's not that you don't say truth in community. You say truth, but you say it with compassion. And that's the problem, is a lot of times in our community, we lack the balance to say the truth the right way. Either we say it too harsh or we don't say it at all. But the Spirit of Christ is to say the truth in love. It's not to bury your head in the sand and feel, because some of this stuff is, you feel like it's not relevant anymore. The world wants to tell you some of this stuff doesn't pertain to our culture anymore. And so some Christians stay quiet. Other Christians are too loud and abrasive. But the Spirit of Christ is what? To share the truth in love. So step 9 is celebrate. Celebrate the truth. Step 10, protect. Protect. Love protects its community members. You know, there was a day and age that the church was a place that someone could run to, even when they had done the wrong thing, and they could call out the word sanctuary, and they could be safe. Once again, the culture of the house of God, the culture of faith, of the people of faith, should be, this is a place where people are protected. A place where people can run to and cry, sanctuary. Sanctuary. So love makes sure that the community is a sanctuary. That people within are protected in a spirit of love. You know, this is not the Spirit of Christ when people come and they are targeted in a sanctuary. This is not the Spirit of love when people come and they feel attacked in the house of God. No, the sanctuary is a safe place, a place of protection. Step 11, trust. I'll tell you this about trust. It's risky. It's risky to trust. But without trust, there is no relationship. We can have no real depth to knowing one another if we don't have trust. Do you really have a relationship? Can I ask you that question? If you don't have trust? Do we really have the fabric of community without trust? A community needs to trust each other. A community is about faith in each other. So great, you're saved. You have faith in God. But do you have faith in each other? Because that's what is trust. That is the fabric of community. And when we lose faith in each other, guess what? Our community begins to unravel. When I say, I just don't trust you anymore. I can't trust you. Well, maybe I trust you, but I don't trust you, and I don't trust you. I've got to kind of be careful in here because I trust you, but I don't trust you. And so that is what happens when a community begins to unravel. Trust, trust. Step 12, hope. You know, whenever we lose hope, things become bleak. Our days become dark. We become pessimistic. I know you don't have to look far. You can sometimes turn on the news, sometimes turn on Facebook, and you see a pessimistic view of different things. But watch this. Hope, what hope does to a community, it elevates the people within the community. Even when things are difficult, can you see the spark of what God is doing in a thing? You know, that is the difference between somebody that is a believer. A believer can see, even in difficult circumstance, I can see the glimmer of hope. I can see the hand of God doing something. So hope believes the best in people. Hope believes in a brighter future. Hope sees the best in circumstances. And step 13, perseverance. You know, I believe that real love has grit. Real love is not fair weather. Real love is not flaky. Real love isn't there for you one day and the next day you don't know. Love perseveres. Love doesn't give up easy. A community with love is committed to one another. We'll go the extra mile for one another. Love perseveres. In conclusion, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. What can we do to be a more loving community? Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." You know what's so beautiful is that Jesus forgave us. And you know, it's like paying it forward when we forgive others, whether they're inside our community or whether they're outside our community, to share and extend that kindness and that forgiveness. I believe our communities need more love. Will you bow your head with me today? Father, we thank you for what you're saying to us, what you're whispering to us. Even whatever circumstance that we find ourselves in today, you are saying, be hopeful, be kind, be loving, come together in a spirit of unity. Your desire is that we be one. In your last prayer, Jesus, you uttered the words, "Father, make them one." And so, Father, we thank you for unity. We pray for unity. We pray the prayer, "Come, unity." We thank you, Father, that you would make once again us unified. Lord, as a local community, Lord, make us unified once again as a nation, Father. Heal, Lord, lines of separation, lines of division. Lord, where wrongs have happened, where things that have never should have been done were done. God, I thank you for healing. I thank you that you would do what nobody else can do, and that is bring healing and unity.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.